trials today, also known as problems. So today's topic in James series is called Facing and Chasing Trials or Problems. Now, I'm going to use problems a lot because if you think about it, you often do not step up to somebody and say, my brother, my sister, I'm going through trials. You seldom ever do that. Instead, you talk about problems, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. So we're going to talk about problems this morning. Now, have you ever had a feeling that God's got a very weird sense of humor? Here we are talking about problems today. Have you ever had that feeling where you pray for patience, and then directly after praying for patience, there's a situation that you're thrown into where you have to learn how to be patient? So in me talking about problems today, I'm not necessarily trying to jinx myself or anything like that. So let's learn together. And I'm not necessarily saying that, you know, I know more than anybody else knows about problems. And I'm not saying that my problems are bigger than anybody else's. But I'm merely here to say, let's learn together about what the scriptures say about how to deal with problems. Amen? But before we carry on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for such a beautiful day, Father God. Lord, as much as the weather's been fluctuating this weekend, Father God, we thank you nonetheless for it, Father God, because it's unique, Father God, to the Cape. I pray, Father, please guide us, Father God, in your word. May we be responsive, Father God, to it. And Father God, may we, Father, absorb everything, Father God, that your word teaches us, Father. I thank you and I pray all this in the mighty name of Christ our King. Amen. Amen. So let us do a quick recap of what James Lapperman talked about last week. By the way, there's a small disclaimer that I'd like to make. There's James, the writer of the book of James, and there's James Lapperman. So I'm going to call him James L, just so that we do not have any confusion, okay? So James L spoke about it being okay to not be okay if you're not. That sounds a bit, doesn't it? But if you're not feeling okay, it's okay to not be okay. He also talked about being committed to unity over fairness. How to let working faith teach us how to handle pressure. How a working faith outweighs injustices. And he also talked in detail about fairness and how the desire to be right or to even get even is the main reason why people want fairness. So in addition to all the above, we're going to look at some verses from the book of James this morning that will hopefully teach us to see problems in a rather different way, or rather in a new way even. But before we go there, though, I'd like to talk about something that I love very, very, very much. The principle of flight. Now, I don't know who else loves airplanes as a church here, but I love airplanes with all my heart. I worked with them. I flew them. So it's a passion that I have. So I thought I'd use this as an example to make an illustration about us and even flight as well. So what you see before you is a simplified version of a propeller-driven aircraft, a.k.a. airplane, and some other people call it aeroplane. So let's say that you are an airplane today. Let's say you're an airplane, and you want to take off and fly. But as much as you want to take off and fly, you just kept on being weighed down by problems. Now, we will call these problems weight and drag. So if you can't fly, you'll be ineffective as an aircraft, won't you? I mean, what's the whole purpose of being an airplane if you can't fly? You'll basically be like a car with a very big wingspan, and that's it. So you'll take up a lot of space. But let's say we add two elements called faith and deeds. In technical terms, we will call these things thrust and lift. So to be an airplane, you have to take off the ground, obviously, and fly. And you essentially need these two elements called thrust and lift for you to take off the ground. Now, here's a catch. When the thrust or the forward movement is greater than the drag, the airplane accelerates. Air is naturally brought about by this acceleration, and it makes it causes the wings to be able to lift the aircraft. The air passes over and under the wings and provides the lift to overcome the weight and keep the airplane up. It's the shape of the wing that actually keeps the airplane up in the sky or keeps it flying. So simply put, the thrust and the lift have to work hand in hand, don't they? So you have a eureka moment where, you know what, once the two work hand in hand, then you can say, okay, you know what, we're flying, baby, and that's what you want. But if there's less thrust, then the airplane starts sinking and there'll be drag as well. So we're going to make this comparison this morning. There's not much of a difference, if you think about it, between an airplane and even us as well. If you think about it, we all experience problems in different degrees. And when our faith is low, there's very little motivation to act and overcome these problems. And if our acts are there, but there's very little faith, there comes a point when we all get frustrated, where, you know, you're just being driven by deeds. But you know what? You have no faith. You get frustrated, don't you? Have you ever felt emotional, like, I can't do this, because there's just this lack of faith. And often we wonder why we're still at the starting point that many of us tend to be at. But it's because we lack faith. So faith and deeds, just like James L. Said last week, work hand in hand. So by show of hands, who of us in the crowd has ever experienced problems? Has anybody ever experienced problems? Wow, sure. Wow, that's a lot of people. Sure. So just to relate with everybody that's having problems or that has had problems, I'd like to share some of the problems that I have been experiencing over the past couple of weeks. Last week, after the singles retreat, a brother and I drove to the V&A waterfront. Now, we were off to his workplace to go drop some luggage that he'd fly with to Joburg. And we went there, we dropped the bag off, we got ourselves a bit of a bite, and then after that, we walked back to the car. And when we got to the car, now we're busy hanging on and we're busy chatting and everything, and the brother says to me, "Dude, look at your window, it's shattered." Now imagine how I must have felt when I saw that. I mean, I was so numb that I did not even know how to react. I just stood there. And for a couple of minutes, I remember just wondering to myself, what then? So that was problem number one. Problem number two, a relative of mine passed away. Now, he's basically a father figure to all of us in the family. Now, after our grandparents passed away a couple of years ago, he became the grandfather or even the father to my mom, my aunt, and everybody else. So after he passed away, the natural expectation was that, you know, I would go up because I'm the eldest son in my family. And unfortunately, because there were so many other things that I was busy working on, I could not go. And that, for me, just made me feel very bad. And I remember thinking, man, why does life have so many problems? Problem number three. Need I carry on? Problem number three. There was a fire that broke out at the house. I was sharing this with the singles last week at my mother's house back in Pretoria. And it just, I don't know, I felt like, you know, I don't know what to do. So let's get into the book of James this morning and see how we can face and chase our problems. Let's please open our Bibles at James chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. And please keep your pinky finger on verse 12 as well, please. So the book of James is not just about deeds, but it's a book that teaches us to respond by faith and to act upon the faith that we have. So these two, faith and deeds, go hand in hand. The book of James chapter 1 verses 1 to 6 reads in the NIV, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Let's skip to verse 12. It reads, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Amen. So these are rather encouraging words, but imagine somebody greeting you saying, "Ish, I've got so many problems." I mean, how would that feel? Before you even find out how well they're doing or how you are doing, that person already comes to you and they say, "I've got problems." That must be quite hard. Now, the book of James looks a bit like the Old Testament book of Proverbs. It almost looks like Proverbs dressed up in New Testament clothing, if you think about it. Now, James is one of the most practical books in the New Testament. It can be described as a kind of toolbox for the Christian to build on their faith. It is because of this consistent focus on practical action in the life of faith that none of the two, deeds and faith, should be separated. It's a book that encourages the Lord's people to act like the Lord's people. Now, in verse 2, he announces who he is, and then he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Now, here are some facts about problems that we need to know and remember. Problems are inevitable, aren't they? They are inevitable. We, as much as we can want to run away from them, but they are inevitable. You know, last week at the singles retreat, we talked about a character called Benaiah. Now, the theme of the singles retreat was Lion Chaser. Now, the whole idea of the Lion Chaser is based on a book in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 20 until 22, on a warrior called Benaiah. Now, he went face to face with a lion. Who of us here has ever faced a lion? I don't think so. But he went face to face with a lion, and he wrestled this lion. Now, he had the chance to walk away, folks. He could have probably either ran away, turned and ran away. But instead, this guy decided that, you know what, I'm going to face this lion. So the lion fell into a pit by chance. And you know what? What is amazing about Benaiah is that he followed this lion. Now, how crazy must that be? Imagine you're wrestling with a lion, falls into a pit, and then after that, instead of turning and saying, you know what, good grief, I can walk away, you're like, no, let me go. And then he ran into the pit. Imagine, a pit is dark, and a lion can see six times better than a human being can. But what is interesting about Benaiah is that he walked out victorious from that pit. So in that case, the lion was the problem for Benaiah. And there were other problems, mind you. It's not just the lion. If you read the book in 2 Samuel and even in Chronicles, you'll get to find out. But what is interesting about Benaiah and us as well is that, you know what, we are also faced by problems in our lives. But the most obvious thing that many of us do is we just run away from them. But it is a fact, church, that even Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation." Did he not? Peter even said, "Do not be surprised when you have problems. Count on it." Now, somebody may be reading the scripture that Peter may have written, or wrote, rather, and this person might be thinking, "What? Did you just say count on it? Aye, Peter, you know what, aye, stop this taxi, aye. I'm stop the boat, I'm getting out now." But what is interesting is, problems are not an elective in our lives. They are a required course. You don't get out of them by saying that you don't want to have problems. None of us are immune to problems. Another point is that problems are unpredictable to a certain degree. Now, why do I say that? Now, if you could predict certainty or even future personal problems, what do you think What do you think these problems would be for you? Would they be family? Would they be financial or work-related? We seldom can anticipate the problems that we are going to experience in life. Now, that's probably good, because if we could anticipate them, we'd probably run away from them, wouldn't we? I mean, who'd wanna just naturally face problems? But the truth is, we would not get any benefit from them if we ran away from them. Now, we don't plan to have a flat tire, do we? Or even crises. We don't plan to have crises in our lives. These things are unplanned and unpredictable and occur when we least expect them to happen. Folks, that is what makes a problem a problem. Now, problems also come in all sorts. Who of you has ever had vegan licorice all sorts before? All sorts come in all different sizes and colors as well, isn't it? And if you're anything like me, there are some of them that you hate. So it's quite interesting how problems also come in different varieties. The word in the Greek for many kinds is literally multicolored. So problems come as multicolored variable things. Now they come in their variety, and they also come in their duration as well. I mean, somebody can have a problem for a short time, but other people can have problems for elongated periods of time. Some are minor inconveniences, and some are major crises. Another point is that, contrary to some beliefs, God does not rain down problems on us. I don't know if you ever thought about that. But none of us can know for sure where the sources of our problems are. None of us can really point our finger and say, this is the source of my problem. Sometimes problems can come from people's bad decisions, isn't it? Sometimes they can come from our bad decisions. And if you can read in your own time, in the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 8, we obviously read about Job and some of the tribulations that he went through. But he was a man that was considered by God as someone that could praise God and uphold his name even against the odds. Now, I need to confess to the church this morning. I need to be really honest. Often when I face problems, I think to myself, you know, isn't there a way that I can avoid these things? But what is interesting is that when God's Spirit refers me back to the scripture in Job chapter 1, verse 8, you know, I'll just think to myself, God, why? In prayer, I'll be like, God, I know that you probably think that I'm the right guy, but Lord, I think you're making a mistake here. Don't you ever feel like that? You even feel like, you know, I can't take this pain. It's just too much. So sometimes the Lord can let problems happen in our lives. But it doesn't mean that he's playing Russian roulette with us. He is not playing Russian roulette with us. He's not gambling with us. The fact is, God knows you and I. In fact, he knows you more than you know yourself. Remember, he created you. He knows you. He knows when you sit down and when you stand. Another version of the Bible says, God knows your way and your steps and has investigated all your ways. And for those of you that love attention to detail, and you love your hair, and you're like, oh man, my hair. Who of you has ever counted the number of strands on your head? The strands of hair on your head? None of you. None of you knows the number of hairs on your head. Unless if somebody's really counted. But I seriously doubt it. So even when a strand of your hair falls right now, you know what? God keeps account of that. So do you know that God cares so much about the number of hairs on your head that he doesn't even want to gamble with you? So then the question is, how do you think problems can add value to yours and my life? Must we walk around with plastic smiles And even giving fake hugs just because we don't want to tell people how it is that we are doing. No, we should not do that. Of course not. Now, there are two methods that are used for purifying gold, but I'll talk about that later on and related to the subject matter. James did not mean that we need to pretend. He did not mean that, you know, we all need to walk around with this fake smile on our faces, pretending as if everything is perfect. You know what? If you're not feeling okay, you need to be honest about it. If you're facing problems, you need to be honest about it and say, you know what, I've got problems. We need to be real with each other. And being real means that even when we're feeling under the weather, that we be open about it, church. Now, I say it again, I'm certainly not an expert in dealing with problems. But there's also truth to the following point that I'd like to make. And if you think otherwise, then it's okay. It's okay. I mean, we all go through problems at different phases of our lives, and we all deal with them differently as well. Now, problems serve a purpose in our lives. Now, here are some purposes that problems serve in our lives. Problems purify, or they refine our faith to make it a working faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 7, the NLT reads as follows. Though you have to endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. That's what Scripture says. So going back to what it is that I said about refining gold, there are two methods that are used. One is called the Miller process, and then the other one is called the Wall process. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. The Miller process is based on the fact that virtually all impurities present in gold will combine with gaseous chlorine more readily than gold does at temperatures equal to or even greater than a temperature of 1,100 degrees Celsius. The impure gold is therefore melted and gaseous chlorine is blown into the resulting liquid. The impurities form chloride compounds that separate into a layer on the surface of the molten gold. So basically all the junk gets to the surface, and the gold will be at the bottom. This sounds quite familiar in our lives, doesn't it? The problem sounds like this junk that is removed from the gold is like, you know, it's how do I make a comparison? The faith is the gold. The impurities are basically the problems that we go through. Now, the Miller process produces gold of about 99.5% purity. Now, the Wall process, on the other hand, increases purity to 99.99% using electrolysis. You know what? For me, I'd say that's good enough. But Peter says that yours and my faith is of more worth than 99.99% of gold. Now, how amazing is that? I would think, come on, man. I mean, that's close enough. In my eyes, that is pretty accurate. But God thinks that your faith is more valuable, that your faith is of more worth than pure gold itself. And remember, this is a fact. Refining does not come from listening to sermons.